Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Woo! All right. Okay, we're kind of doing all right. All right, we got to get pumped up. Today's ice cream Sunday. All right, so hopefully you're ready for some ice cream, even if you're not a kid. We're going to have the ice cream truck show up today, all right? So everybody who has go flashback to their childhood and appreciated the ice cream truck rolling by, then you're going to love today because she's going to pull in around 11 o'clock. It was incentive for me to shut up and get it ready to wrap this thing up by 11 so we can have some ice cream together. Not just the kids, but everybody who wants some can have some, and it's all for free. So make sure you take advantage of that today. If you're watching online with us and you want some free ice cream, there's still time to come down and get some, so make sure you're doing that. If you're new here, we want to welcome you first and foremost. Thank you so much for being here, either in person or online. If you're online, yeah, thank you, Dave. If you're online, we want to give you a free gift. We got an ebook for you. Make sure you like or love a new here comment that we're posting so that you can get plugged in more fully into what's going on at Faith. If you're new here in person, we'd love for you to be able to tell us that too. Miss Dawn's in the back and she's got a great welcome bag for you with some gifts in there too. And so we want to make sure you get that before you get out of here. So let's make sure you catch her before you leave today. Also, if you do have children, we have Faith Kids going on downstairs each week. It's just an awesome opportunity to be able to dive into just some great kids content. But it goes beyond kids. What we have on our website and on our Facebook page is a link to an online experience as well. So if you can't be here in person, there's an online experience that you and your family can work through. And I always encourage this because it goes beyond just kids to adult time. We don't try to segment the morning experience on purpose. What we want to do is take it and bring it down on their level and then invite you all back together again to learn from each other as you're working through what does this mean, what does this look like, how does following Jesus really work in our lives on all the levels, from 2-year-olds to 99-year-olds, whatever the level is, there's something in there for you. So make sure that you're checking that out as well. You'll see on our Facebook page, there's a link for that kids' content that we don't want you to miss. And if you're in person, ask your kids how it goes today when they come back upstairs. I love for that interaction to happen. And get to know the teachers, the volunteers that are serving downstairs. They are awesome. We just welcomed on one more this week. She's going to do a great job, and I'm so excited about bringing more and more people into that process. If you ever have the inclination, and I know some of you are terrified by children, but if you're not terrified by kids, feel free to dive into that. It doesn't take anything but someone who's willing just to be able to sit on the floor and to be able to talk to a child. That's all there is to it. And part of what I love as someone who has 7 children, I love that experience because you get to get questions asked of you and answer them questions that you won't get anywhere else. There's honesty, there's vulnerability. It's a lot easier, I think, to talk to a child than it is to an adult in many ways, just because there's not a lot of pretense going on in those conversations. So if you ever want to get involved in that, we encourage you to do that as well. Also, here's some things we want to get you plugged into with Faith going on this next couple of weeks here at Faith Events. One is a big thank you first and foremost. Where's Kim Cagle? She's over there in the corner today. Kim did such a fantastic job. Friday night, we had Junction Cafe. We didn't. The church didn't. Junction Cafe had paint and sip, first time paint and sip in the cafe space. And we had 15 people sign up and show up. And Kim did such a great job leading that. She had never instructed before. Yeah, thank you, Kim. Everybody give me a round of applause. A matter of fact, my mother-in-law and my stepmom were here on vacation briefly, and they stopped in and participated, and they are not artistic at all. And by the time they got done, they were amazed. They said, man, that is incredible. I couldn't believe we did that. And it was all attributed back to Kim's good efforts and patient efforts of showing step by step how to do that. So in an hour and a half, and we don't have the photo or the painting with us, we're going to bring it next week, right? But the painting that they did was done in an hour and a half. It was just phenomenal. Everybody did such a great job. I'm so proud of you guys who did that. We're going to do some more stuff. We're hoping to put together a game night and a whole bunch of other events for the cafe. So just keep on the lookout for that. But thanks for being here Friday, and catch us on the next one if you missed out. Also, Faith Worship Night is Saturday. Actually, not Saturday. I got Saturday written down. It's Friday, September 9th. All right. So don't be here Saturday. Be here Friday, September 9th as we get ready to worship together. It's going to be a great time. We've got so many people involved in this process to have an awesome experience worshiping together, doing live music. We've got so many awesome people. I'm so excited about Worship Night. So if you missed us the last time, which is a little bit, either either before or after Easter. In the spring, we had it. It was a great time. Everybody had an awesome experience. It was packed house. And so we encourage you to invite people Friday, September 9th, as we're going to play music, listen, sing together. We're going to take communion together. We're going to do it all right here and have a great hour to hour and 15 minutes of just diving into worship of God together in different ways we can't really do on a Sunday morning. So don't miss out on that experience Friday, September 9th. The last thing we want to always remember to do is invite you to, one, receive. All right, whenever we start with giving, I want to start with receiving. So if you're in need, and there's so many needs out there, and we're very well aware of those, but if you're in need and would like assistance from us, please get up with us, all right? So whatever your need is, we can talk through it and talk about it and see if we can help meet that need in your life. Go to our website, faithchurchvt.com, and you'll find all our contact info on the bottom. Get up with us. We will connect back with you, and we will talk through how we can help you make it through whatever you're going through in your life at this point and help meet that need. Also, if you would love to give, we love generosity. We love seeing everybody, the things like Paint and Sip that we helped participate in and help sponsor. So many other things, Panel Day that was done. It was such a huge success. All those things are driven by your generosity. We can't do those things without you guys. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that does that each and every single week. If you love to give today, it's really easy. Either give physically on the baskets up front or in the back, or you give online, faithchurchvt.com, press the give button, or on the app. We have an app. There's a church center app, and you look up our church, you can give there as well. It's really, really easy, okay? So I want to encourage you to do that before you leave today, or anytime during the week is fine as well. The very last thing I want to mention this morning before we get into the message is you'll see a bunch of boxes. If you're in person, sorry, camera, we're not turning our camera this morning, so you can't see it. But to my left, there's a bunch of boxes for Operation Christmas Child. And each year, we try to set a big goal of accomplishing to send these boxes out to so many deserving children around the world. And we are excited because I think we have 78, right? That's where we're at, 78 boxes. Our goal is 75. We've already exceeded it by 3. But here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to really, really stuff these boxes, all right? We have enough in there, but we want to give them extra. All right, because all our church is about is giving more and more and more, stuffing things. So when those kids open those boxes, they practically burst out in their faces with so much stuff and so many good things they can share with others. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. I also want to thank Bonnie. She's going to come up here and give a little more information on that and also give a thanks, I think. Bonnie's been such an instrumental part of making sure this happens this year. She's been helping not only collect, but sort and distribute and put together all these things. And I thank her so much for all that she's been doing these past few weeks.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for their generosity. The donations were incredible. I was actually getting a little panicked thinking, oh my goodness, are we going to have enough? Is everything going to come together and like that? And it's just been wonderful how you've just all come together as a church and just provided everything that we've needed. And as first of all, I want to say a big thank you to Kathy Ryder. I couldn't have done all this the last few days without Kathy's help. She's just been tremendous, and I appreciate her, and I love her so much, and it's just been great. But I also want to, again, a big thank you to all of you. When we put out all this to take an inventory, we decided, well, as long as we've got it all laid out, maybe we'll start the boxes, and it'll give us a little bit more idea of what we need and where we need to go from here and like that. And I turned around and looked at Kathy as I was filling boxes and I was stacking them on the chairs and like that. And I said, this reminds me of the story of the loaves and fishes. It just seemed like as I was packing boxes, we still had all these things to put in boxes. It was just incredible. And we wouldn't have been able to do that without you. But like the pastor said, we want to stuff these boxes even more full. So I made a list. It's just a brief list of the things that we were kind of shy on. Even though we had enough to do what we did and like that, some items that we need to complete and really stuff the boxes. And the biggest thing is socks. I'd like socks that are gender neutral in color and things like that. Tube socks work well only because they cover a multitude of sizes. Keep in mind, 2 to 14, boys and girls. The other things that we need are hygiene products. Now, what we need for hygiene products are what will fit in those boxes. So the travel size works best. Toothpaste, shampoo, bar soap, body wash, and deodorant. And then the other thing is we gave away a lot of pencils and erasers and pencil sharpeners and things like that, pens and like that. But we need small pads of paper. to put in the boxes as well, and maybe some colored pencils and some markers. So I have a sheets over here by the box, and you can feel free to take a sheet, and then we'll keep filling that box, and from that box we'll keep filling those boxes. And yes, Marin. We actually had plenty of stuffed animals, so we're good with that, because we did the stuffed animals from age 2 to 9. So we covered that quite well. So, but thank you. And thank you all again.
Again, appreciate you, Bonnie, and all that it takes. It's a lot to manage when you're talking about this number of boxes and that number of items, especially when you're breaking things that are in bulk down into little smaller sections. And so thank you so much again. It's so awesome to be able to see the results of all of your generosity. I think that's part of what inspires me the most, isn't just saying, oh, it's great that people give, and you can see dollar amounts, and you can see those other figures that are on a spreadsheet, but it's really cool to see it in person, because what's going to happen is these boxes are going to get taken, and they're going to get shipped to all around the world. We don't even know where they're going to wind up going, but they're going to go to some kid who, if that box wasn't done, if you guys didn't participate in this program, they're not going to get anything like this, right? This is not going to happen. It's not like, oh, this is an extra thing on top of the thing they're already getting. This is what they're going to get, right? And but more importantly, beyond just a gift, what they're going to get is they're going to get a gospel presentation with it. They're going to get shown the greatest gift, and it's not just about getting the toys and getting the pencils and getting the clothing items and things that they wouldn't get otherwise. It's about saying, here's why we do this. It's because we have a generous God who gave us his son to save us from our mess, from our sin, and now we want to give you this gift to show you that he loves you, even though you not even know the person who sent it, but they love you enough to be able to pack up a box, to stuff it, to just overflow into where we couldn't barely get rubber bands around it. That's how stuffed we want these boxes to be, so that when they open up, they can experience the overwhelming generosity that comes only from Jesus. All right, that's it. And so we encourage you to continue to give. We have till November, all right? But don't put it off, all right? We're talking about time today. We're talking about busy and stress and things like that. Don't say, oh, it's November. I got it. I'll just wait till October 30th, right, and get it all then. Start now, right? Look for sales. Look for things. Buy in large sections of bulk. We can break them down, right, Bonnie? So if you get a whole big pack, we can break them into pieces. And so make sure you're just getting as much in as possible. If we have extra, we'll just save it for next year, all right? Or give it away to somebody in our community. So don't feel like you can give too much, because that's not going to be possible. All right. So I want to thank you for all that you've done doing that so far. Can't wait to see how it happens the rest of this year as well. Also, as we're ready to get transitioned, I want to thank you so much for being part of our ongoing Overcomer series. So this past few weeks, we've been talking about how we need to move from surviving to thriving, right? And we talked about week one, we're talking about busyness, right? Nobody here is still busy after we talked about that, right? Everybody's non-busy, right? Yeah, everybody's quiet. That's right. Exactly. All right. Last week we talked about stress, but just part one of stress, because this week we're going to dive into part two, because I said it's too big. It's too big to cover. We got to really break this into small chunks. And so we're going to cover part two of stress this morning with the second and third parts of our answer. But before we do that, I want to invite you to get up and to have discussion with this question together. Grab some coffee, grab some iced coffee, grab a latte, whatever you can. And talk to each other about this question. It's super easy, super fun. What's a song that always makes you want to dance? What's a song that always makes you want to dance? You know, you turn it on, you hear it on nobody listens to the radio, but you hear it on like Spotify or something, and it just catches your eye, and it's like, oh man, yeah, I just start to move. Even if you don't want to, you just start to move, right? And so everybody's got that song. So what's a song that always makes you want to dance? Answer online as well. We want those responses in-house. Make sure you take the break to get up, move around, have some coffee, and get to know each other a little better, and we'll see you back here in just a few. All right, everybody's ready for the answers, right? Everybody's talked about it. What we got going on here with these songs? What's the song that always makes you want to dance? What's some answers? Mr. Rich is ready to walk around the room for us, so let's get it going.
I like the song Fred Astaire sings, Putting on the Ritz.
Oh, yeah, Putting on the Ritz. There you go. I like that one. Nice. Robin, what you got?
You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC.
There you go. All Night Long, AC/DC. I love that one, Robin. Awesome. What you got, Miss Jen?
Love Shack, baby.
Love Shack. B-52s, right? Anything with this? Yeah, all right. Walt in the back.
One that makes me want to dance, I can't dance to anymore, is Rocky Top.
Rocky Top. All right. There's a Tennessee throwback for Tennessee fans. All right. Who else? Nobody else. Just ain't dances. You're a bunch of non-dancing people. All right. There we go, Brian. What you got?
Any song by George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers.
Yeah. All right. George Thorogood.
Head to
yes.
the bone, right? So mine is actually because of my niece, Maniac. It's
yeah.
My absolute favorite song.
Yep.
Then we have a few online. Tom said The House of Pain.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon was Bumpy Ride. Miss Jan was Relate. Sissy was Old Time Rock and Roll and Run Devil Run.
There you go. I like Run Devil Run. That's a good one, too.
I have one more in here.
Those are all so good.
That's it. Play That Funky Music, White Boy.
Of course. Anybody else? Those are all great answers. There we go, Miss Brenda. And then, oh, yeah, we'll catch Miss Jane inside.
Love Shack.
Love Shack. That's right. Absolutely. It's such a great song. All right, here we go, Brenda on the side.
Of course, girls just want to have fun.
Girls just want to have fun. Of course. I remember somebody doing that for the 16th birthday party, some girl I knew in high school. But anyway, all right, who else? Thanks. Was that you? It was retro by the time I was in high school. But anyway, anybody else? Those are all good.
I don't know. I could dance to Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. That's great. Those are all good answers. I thought it was so appropriate. I was thinking about so many awesome songs, right? And the one that always kept coming back to me this week was Your Love Keeps Lifting Me by Jackie Wilson. And the only reason I know this song was from Ghostbusters, right?
Yes.
Exactly, right? As soon as I hear Your Love Keeps Lifting Me, I imagine the giant Stave Puff Marshmallow Man walking through New York City, right? That image just seared into my brain from childhood, and it just continually comes back. But it is a great song. I love that song, and as soon as I hear it, it's like, oh, yeah, man, I just can't help but do some sort of movement with my body. I can't dance, but I still kind of, you know, do this. I don't know what I do. I do something anyway, but it just makes me want to move, right? So last week we discussed that even though that we are the most prosperous and affluent generation in all human history, really, that we still suffer under some pretty unmanageable stress. And we said that part of that reason is because we're dealing with so much unfocused time, right? When we don't fill our time with God things, we're going to fill it with a bunch of other things. Really anything can get fit into our schedule. And so that unfocused time, coupled with all the wasted energy that we spend on things that seem urgent, but really aren't that important, lead us to being overwhelmed and overcommitted and overworked, and we find ourselves spiraling into this stress cycle, right? We also said that stress is linked to so many of the things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, so many of the pains that we go with, that we medicate away, are linked back to stress. It could be headaches, it could be chronic pain, shortness of breath, panic attacks, heartburn, bloating, nausea, loss of sexual desire, mood disorders. All those things are usually partially attributed to stress in some form or fashion. And what I found remarkable as we went through this series, even last week and before that into the busyness portion, that it doesn't even have to be our stress, right? It doesn't have to be our stress, right? We mentioned a couple of weeks back that the things kids most desired wasn't more time with their parents. It was more quality time with their parents when their parents weren't frustrated or angry. They said anger management was a huge portion of their parents' issues, and they got the effects from their parents' anger, right? It was trickle-down stress. They called it secondhand stress, right? So you might think, I can deal with a little bit of the side effects of stress. I can manage my stress. But there's other people in your life that are saying, please get yourself under control because your stress is stressing me out, right? You're living in that secondhand stress. And last week we said that part of the solution to that stress, whether it be your own stress or that secondhand stress you're passing off or experiencing from someone else, is to take a Sabbath, right? Is to take a rest. We said that most of our problems with stress come from the fact that we can't control our situation, right? And we're out of control. We feel like those elements in our lives are uncontrollable. All the stress starts to crowd in on us, to pressure us in. And what God offers us through Jesus is to work out the uncontrollable in our lives and say, you're in control, God. In exchange, he gives us a break, right? He gives us a Sabbath rest. We said that Sabbath, that one full day off, is a day to say we're not trying to control anything. We're just taking a whole 24 hours to say, you got this, I don't. And it's a means for us to enter into not just rest, but trust. That's what we said rest was, that rest equals trust, right? Trust that God has provided enough for us in those 6 days so we can confidently rest in the seventh by what he has given us. That's what Sabbath rest is. And so if you're stressed and you're cycling through all those things and you got headaches and you got nausea and you got all the things that are listed on those late night infomercials, they want to sell you a pill to fix, here's what I'm telling you. Take a day off. Take a full 24 hours and say, all right, God, you got this and I don't. And that's part one of our solution to stress. There's a couple more I want to list this morning. One, as a freebie, is dancing, by the way. There was a study I just read this week that said dancing actually reduces stress, right? So if you're ever stressed out, maybe you want to dance a little bit. Maybe turn on one of those favorite song that makes you dance. Maybe it's Row, Row, Row Your Boat, right, Rich? And you're dancing to that. Whatever it is, it's going to reduce your stress, and maybe you'll lose a few pounds along the way. There's a bonus to that, too. So that's a freebie for you, right? There's a freebie. Dance all that stress away. But there's another reason I asked that question and talked about that, because rest is a major part of the solution. That Sabbath is a major part, but it's only part of it. Because time off won't heal you if you're not spending the time on the right way. You've probably experienced this. Have you ever got to the end of your day off? Maybe you take one, all right? Maybe you get to the end of that and you come up and you start thinking about the next day. Or maybe you get to the end of your vacation and you're dreading what's happening after you get off of your vacation wherever you go, right? I experienced that this week. We took a few days off, and my family and I, to celebrate my third son's 13th birthday, we went to Maine, and I already knew beforehand, I said, man, we're going to take these days off, and I'm going to have to do all this catch-up work on the other side, and I tried to work ahead, but even still, we were driving back Thursday, and all I could think on that seven-hour drive back from Maine was, man, all the work that I have to catch up on Friday that I just don't want to do, all right? So we can take vacation. You can take a day off, but here's what happens is the taking a day off or even this lengthy vacation as a total solution to feeling chronically stressed is as strategic as telling an alcoholic he should stop drinking on Thursdays. All right, that's how this is how this works. You can't just take a vacation. Time off alone is not going to stop your stress. The solution to an unsustainable pace is a sustainable pace. All right? Which takes us to the second part of our solution to managing stress, rhythm. Rhythm. So what is dancing, right? When I talked about that question, you dance to your music, what's dancing, right? It's movement set to rhythm, right? That's all dancing is. As a drummer, rhythm comes pretty naturally for me. I can tap out a bunch of rhythms all day. I'm automatically doing it. Even when I don't realize it, I'm usually coming in doing something with my fingers all the time in my life, right? The movement part I can't get, but the rhythm part I got, right? But I know that some people don't even have any rhythm. But despite the lack of that, I think we can tell the difference between rhythm and noise, right? Maybe you've heard it in a song, or maybe you've heard a child or someone who's learning to play, and it's like, oh, I can tell when they've got it and when they don't, right? You can hear somebody in rhythm, it's like, yeah, that's easy, or that's easy stuff, right? But then you hear somebody who doesn't know what they're doing or don't have any rhythm, which is kind of sad, and I'm sorry. But if you don't, because it's so fun, but if you don't have it, you know, it's kind of like, it's just noise at that point, right? And so what happens is you got to get into rhythm in your life, because if you're living in a life that is out of rhythm, you're going to be chronically stressed no matter how many days off you take. You go on vacation for 6 months out of the year, you're going to come back and your life's doing this. You're going to be just stressed out constantly. So the solution to a sustainable or unsustainable pace in our lives is a sustainable rhythm. Now, rhythms are varied. Rhythms aren't necessarily constant. And it's not just about staying on time, right? Some people are like type A people. Like, oh, I got to stay on time. If I get off time, my life is ruined, right? So I can't stop. I got to keep going, right? That's type A people. Other people are just constantly like, hey, this sounds good to me, right? I don't know if it sounds bad to anybody else. That sounds great. But it's not sustainable, right? So rhythms contain breaks, and they contain actual beats, right? So you have a little bit of both. You got, right? A little bit of rhythm in there has breaks. It has variance. And our lives have to have that as well. We see no greater example of this than in the life of Jesus. And so I want to take us through a bunch of scenarios that we see in Jesus' life play out. I want us to discover Jesus' rhythm together, because I want us to unpack it for our lives as well. And how do we live in a sustainable rhythm? So let's start Luke 4, 38 and 40 through 41. I'm going to read this. It's going to be up on the screen. It's going to be online for you. You can look in your Bible, on your Bible app, whatever you carry around. We'd love for you to do that as we go through this together. And we're going to pick out this beat in Jesus' rhythm this morning. And it says this, "And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Verse 41, and demons also came out of many crying, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. So here we go. We got a whole day's worth of activity that Jesus is going through. Let's see what rhythm or what beat in the rhythm we're trying to pick out here. What do you think this is? As you're listening and looking at what Jesus is doing there in this day, what's he doing? What's the beat in his life here? What's going on? Nobody knows. Right place at the right time, right? And he's working, isn't he? He's active. He's busy in a way. Not overly busy, but he's constantly being productive in his day, right? He's moving from one thing to the next to the next. He's at work. See, Jesus lived out what God created us to do, and one of that key beats in his rhythm was to work. I want to clarify this because work is important and necessary, all right? I don't want us to say, oh, to live a stress-free life, don't work. That's not going to happen. It's not going to work, right? You got to do this. And I don't just mean a job. A job is work, but work is so much more than just a job, right? We were created to build, to create, to sustain, to cultivate. You know, if you look at a child long enough and you'll see they're not just playing, they're creating, right? They're working. My kids and the Merritt's kids are awesome kids. They were hanging out at my house yesterday, but normally they hang out by the river. And that was so funny because I saw as I was going to them, me and Dave, was it last week, I guess, and we went to see what they were doing by the river, and it was just so cool to see because what happened is they started playing in the river weeks ago, and they were playing in the water, they were having a good time, and then they started fishing in the river together, and that was pretty fun. They loved doing that. Then one day, Jonas, my fourth son, he started bringing a bucket down to the river just to catch random things in the river, frogs or crawdads or whatever he could catch, right? And the next thing you know, they've got buckets, they've got cups, they've got shovels, they've got trowels, they got a whole construction crew down there by the river as they're starting to do all this activity. And what I noticed was is that what started as playing in the water turned out into a construction project, right? And they were working. They're working. And that's a great thing. That's an awesome thing. Last week we said that rest is a form of worship, and so is work, if done right, right? You honor God and find fulfillment in your life when you use the talents that God gives you, the gifts, the time that he gives you to create beautiful things. That's work. Take that raw material in God's creation to make it in something unique that only you can do. What I loved about that painting sip was that Kim was leading them in an instruction through all the steps, and she went step by step, paint it white, paint it blue, all the things, giving very specific instructions. But even though she gave them very specific instructions, all the paintings turned out unique. All of them were unique. They were taking the same raw materials and the same things, and they used their gifts and their talent, their perspective, and created something slightly different. They all were beautiful in their own way. And so that's what we're created to do, is to work. Jesus understood this, right? He was working in this day. He was restoring people. He was healing people. He was doing all these things, casting out demons. All these are restoring work. He was a restoration guy, always working to restore people's lives. That's what his work was. And so his beat and his rhythm includes work, right? So let's look at another beat. Luke 5, 15 and 16. We're not going in a particular order, by the way. We're just kind of jumping around to see different parts. We're going to find this next one. Luke 5, 15 and 16 says this, "But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." So what's his next beat? He's working one day, and then more and more people are coming to him another day, and then what does he do? He takes a break. He pauses, right? He pauses. Breaks, prayer, all those things. The more work Jesus did, the busier his life got, right? The more he healed people, the more said, "Oh, I know this guy. If you're sick, go find him," right? The more he cast out demons, the more they brought people to him. All those things, work he did, invited more work into his lives. With more popularity came more pressure. And he could have kept pushing to try to keep up, right? He could have, you know, cut back, sacrificed time in other parts of his life to help more people, and he probably would have been considered noble and right to have done so, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Jesus didn't push through the pressure. He paused. The crowds gathered and they pressed and they demanded, and yet he would take time away. It says he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. See, the way the Greek is constructed there indicates that this was a continual practice. It was most likely a daily practice in his life. So despite the increasing crowds, despite all the demands, you imagine this? You imagine being so popular and so wanted that your life is just filled with unceasing people coming up to you during your day while you're trying just to have a normal day. They're coming up and just begging and just demanding of you all these things. That was Jesus' life. And he dedicated a daily time not to satisfy every need, although maybe he could have. But he dedicated a daily time to pause, to find a quiet place away from the noise and distraction, and he prayed. You see, even Jesus knew he couldn't do anything without renewing himself through time with God daily and at length. Last week, I said that we were created for worship. Work is a part of that, a key part. But so is pausing and spending time in quiet, reading, reflection, prayer with God. That's huge. We see it woven in from the very beginning of time, right? If you look back at Genesis, you see all the beautiful things God has made. Then he creates man. And then you see this beautiful picture where it says that Adam and God walked together in the cool of the day. Adam was productive. But God was teaching him the most important thing wasn't just to always be working. It was to spend time pausing, to reflect, to get into relationship with the Creator. You see, what we skip, if we skip this beat, right? If we don't do this pause, reflection, prayer time in our day and our week, we're not only denying ourselves a time of growth and of peace, but we're exchanging it for pride and self-accomplishment, right? When you don't do that, you're doing something else, and usually it's fulfilling a desire in yourself, right? Which all that does, all that pride and self-accomplishment does is invite more pressure and more stress, because the more you do, the more people expect you to do. It's a never-ending cycle, trust me. I've got kids, all right? I know. The more you do, the more they expect it to happen and keep happening until you finally say, that's not happening today. And then they wonder, well, why not? You've been doing this all the time. But if you pause and work that into a regular rhythm in your life, you're denying your pride, your ego, your self-accomplishment, and saying, this is important. This is just as important than anything else I'm doing today. A sustainable rhythm in life includes pausing. Let's look at beat three, Luke 6, 12, and 13. So Jesus is working, he's pausing. What else is he doing here? In these days, it says, he went out to the mountain to pray. We just talked about that, right? And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Now, what do we see here in beat three? What's beat three? He called 12. What's beat three? Anybody got a clue? Delegation? All right, that's part of it. Yeah, absolutely. I love that one. That's actually better than what I got. Help. Help, right? Getting more people involved. I love that. That's a good aspect. What else? Spent time with God before that, right? And then he came down and talked to them, right? Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Those are all great answers. Yeah. Teaches? Yep, absolutely. Part of what I get, all these tie into the same thing I'm going to drive to this morning, is community, right? He called 12. Jesus was Jesus, right? He's fully God, fully man. He could have done it all himself. He could have done all of it himself. But he didn't exist in a bubble. He didn't just say, I got this. Y'all watch and see. I'll show you. But you can't. You're not going to participate, right? No. He could have done it all himself. But he called others in part to teach them, right? The necessity of community. The necessity of community. You see, we were created to create these deep-seated bonds together, right? Not just to live next to each other. Now, I'll say the inclination to say, when I tell you that being in community is part of a sustainable pace, it's part of a sustainable rhythm in your life, you're going to say, well, community adds stress. And I'll agree with you. But what I will not agree with is that I think community does add stress, but it's not in the way we think. It's not the community aspect of it. It's how we relate to each other in community that adds stress, right? Jesus called up the 12 closest followers of his, in essence, to say, here, let me begin to show you how unfathomable love, how deep mercy, how unlimited forgiveness, an unbreakable commitment to God and each other is going to transform what you think community even looks like. Let me teach you how to live together as God intended and not how you've been thinking it's supposed to be. That was why he called the 12. It was to commission, to empower, but it was to teach. What does living in a community with Jesus and with God really look like in relation to him, in relation to others? So he didn't just do it. He didn't just show it. He brought them into the process. You see, when we lived in community in this way, stress is lessened, right? Because we can take off the load from one another, hopefully. We can counsel one another against a bad choice, or we can share in the grief of a bad choice made. That's what a Jesus-centered community looks like. And we also come to the point, hopefully, where we're going to trust each other and we can get vulnerable with each other, which is going to lower that stress because you have that self-protection, you have that ego, we have all these things in our lives where it's like, oh, I can't invite them in past this wall because that's where my private stuff is at, right? That's where that stuff I need to keep protected is at. They don't need to know that part about me. Let me show them the good parts and maybe invite them into a little bit of the bad when I'm feeling vulnerable, but not all the time. And what this does, what Jesus is inviting his 12 into and explaining and teaching them to do is that we have to have intimacy, deep-seated intimacy with people. Not every single person, but a group of people in our lives that we can just share, that there's nothing sacred with, that is all out on the table for. That we know that when we tell them something, they're not going to say, oh man, what in the world did you, you're just a giant dummy. How could you possibly do that over and over again? They may say that, but then they say, but I still love you and let's work through this together, right? But that kind of community where you're going to be able to be vulnerable with each other and say, man, let's work through whatever you got going on together. Now, there's many circles of this. I can't get into this. There's studies that show you can't have more than 3 to 5 good people that you're going to do this with, right? This is just impossible. No matter how much of an extrovert you are, you can only have 3 to 5 in your really close circle. You really only get it to know just not many more than that, really know people. And you can never know more than 150 people, period, all right? So there's going to be limits to this. So there's you in your life. There's a small circle. There's your tribe, which is in our situation, our church. And there's the broader community at large. But we need to find people that we can have intimacy with, because intimacy is a shared experience and creates a shared rhythm in our lives, which lowers our stress and helps us to thrive together. Community is necessary. So a sustainable rhythm in life includes community, right? So work, pause, community. Let's find the fourth one. Beat 4, Luke 8, 22 and 23. Here's what it says he did next. It says, one day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. And so they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And as a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and they were in danger. And everybody freaked out but Jesus. Any guesses on the last beat in this rhythm of Jesus's life? It's tucked in the middle there. Rest. Thank you, Ken. There you go. Rest, right? I know, it seems counterproductive. We already talked about pausing. What's this matter? This is different, right? We talked last week, rest equals trust, right? The Gospels don't record every time Jesus went to sleep, but they did here because that's what they're highlighting, that rest equals trust. Jesus could sleep in the midst of this storm because he knew that God was in control. We said last night there's always things that keep us awake, right? We listed a bunch of them. Everybody had something that kept them awake at night, right? And all those things were far less pressing than potential for immediate death, like in Jesus' situation here. And yet he still understood that despite the circumstances, that despite the daily, all those things that he was going under, that he needed and could, not that he needed, but that he could have and trusted in God enough to sleep. Now that seems so small, right? It's sleep. Everybody sleeps. But how well do you sleep? How often do you sleep? How restful is your sleep? And that's key. We talked about this weeks, or it's going to be a couple of years ago now, but we talked about this because sleep is essential, right? We said that, let me find my little note here, that says that if studies have shown that a lack of sleep is worse for performance than showing up to work drunk, right? That's how important sleep is. But yet we sacrifice sleep. Don't we? We say, well, I cut back on my sleep because I have to accomplish all these other things, right? I have to get the kids to bed. I have to do my schoolwork. I have to do whatever X, Y, and Z it is, and I won't sleep as much. But yet we'll stay on a diet or try to, or we'll clock into work on time, or maybe even have prayer time, but we'll deny ourselves sleep on that. And there's sometimes you will deny yourself sleep. But if you're not getting consistent sleep, it's going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin any sustainable rhythm, and is going to lead you straight back down into that cycle of stress that you were dealing with before. Even Jesus knew this. He slept. So you need to as well. Now, Jesus' rhythm varied depending on the day, right? This wasn't the same pattern. He didn't go to work. He didn't pause. He didn't do community and then go to sleep. It wasn't the same cycle every time, right? There was always elements and things happening around him. But he did include these four elements in his day, that rest, that work, that pause, and that community, and some rhythm in his day each and every time. Remember, you can take 1,000 vacations. You can call in for mental health days. I did that as a federal worker. I had many, many sick days that I used as mental health days that I needed to take. But to escape from the stress in your life that doesn't include a bottle or binge watching on Netflix requires you to get into a sustainable rhythm. The cure for an unsustainable pace is a sustainable pace. You want less stress? Find that rhythm in your life. Now, as essential as getting into that sustainable rhythm is, right, you still may want or feel the need to escape. You ever been there? You ever think, oh, I'm in pretty good rhythm. I mean, I'm doing things okay. It's kind of going all right. Maybe the way it feels like I'm in a pretty good place. But there's still that driving need maybe to get away. Maybe, man, I really need to get back on vacation. I really need to just get away or head out of town for just a little bit, right? Or just go somewhere for just a few hours. If you ever still feel that need, even when all things are working together, right, your stress levels may still rise because you're not living with purpose, as we said a couple weeks ago, but you're not living with passion. And here's something I'm going to tell you that might throw off everything you've ever heard, but that's okay. Let me get to the Jesus part first. There's remarkable things. Jesus was obviously a remarkable individual in many respects, but one of the things that stands out in contrast to our current culture is that he did something that nobody here hardly ever does, including myself, and he said no to people. Luke 4, 42 and 43 says this, "And when it was day, he departed and went to a desolate place, and and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them," in other words, he didn't say, "Yep, I'll stay with you," "but he said to them, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose.'" Jesus said to those people that day, no. That's interesting, because I think we always want to think about Jesus saying yes to all our things, right? Yes, okay, great. Yeah, Jesus is going to do all these. He's going to help accomplish. He's restoring. He's doing all this stuff. So saying no stands out, but why he said it is the key, right? He said, "For I was sent for this purpose." Jesus could have stayed and taught this group alone, but his purpose prioritized his schedule and not people. Catch that. Don't miss this. His purpose prioritized his rhythm, his schedule, all those things, not people. 2 weeks ago, we discussed that limiting busyness means identifying 3 to 5 purposes in your life and then just really radically reorganizing your life around those 3 to 5 purposes, focusing that time and effort in a productive way and instead of just using this shotgun approach, right? The same, boom, I'm just going to do a bunch of stuff and hope it all works out. Really focusing how we live, right? And that will help define you. But what will really help define those purposes is finding your passion, finding that thing that drives you when nothing else does. Jesus had it. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Here it is, condensed. He told it before it even starts. Luke 4, 18 and 19 is his mission statement in life. We're going to read it together. He told the people, there's a scroll of Isaiah rolled out before him, and he stood up and he said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, is quoted as saying, "Set yourself on fire with passion and people will come from miles to watch you burn." Man, that quote caught me. So many of us live lives, these tiny little embers, these tiny little passions that we never want to fully foster because it puts us out of our comfort zone. It puts us out of our financial comfort. It puts us out of our relational comfort. It does all these things, and we don't want to fan into flame the passion, that thing that God has placed inside of us. We don't want to be obedient to that. We want to stay where we're at and it's comfortable, but Jesus didn't have that problem. Jesus said, "I was sent to proclaim good news. I was sent with a passion, on a purpose, on a mission to set people free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He was the quintessential example of John Wesley, of setting himself on fire with passion, and people from miles and miles and miles came to watch Jesus just burn. Jesus didn't live with a great rhythm, not just with a great rhythm, although he did. The music he created with that rhythm, with his life, was at times just loud and stirring. And other times it was quiet and contemplative, but it was always moving because it was filled with purpose and passion. You may think that living with rest and rhythm requires balance, but that's not it at all. Balance forces retreat. Balance means less, right? Less work, less commitments, less effort. It's really, really hard to build a life if you're constantly in retreat. People who consistently achieve significant things are rarely balanced. They're passionate. Doing less doesn't do anything for you if you want to accomplish more in your life. You see, moving from surviving to thriving, reducing stress, means abandoning balance and discovering your passion. See, what Jesus did and invites us into isn't a life of retreat. Jesus never said, I invite you, come and let me make your life easier, right? Let me just make it convenient for you. Let me just make it all smooth, and let's just make it just, I'll just come in and be so quick and easy. You'll love everything we do. It's going to be great. No, he said, I come to give you life and give you life abundant. You know what happens with abundance? You have to start managing it, right? You have to start understanding how to use it. God has given you a passion. He's given you a talent. He's given you gifts. He's given you time. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? See, Jesus invites us not into a retreat, but into a life full, saying yes to the right things, not just anything. And in the process, creating a beautiful life of significance and meaning that goes beyond managing budgets and walking this tightrope between responsibility and escape. Because most of us are either wasting our lives doing things we're not good at or don't want to do, but feel stuck or obligated to do. Or we do things we're good at, out of convenience, and lacking in trust in God's plan for us. That's where most of us are at. While in Maine, I met a guy working on a sailboat. It was a couple hours. There's nothing much to do besides watch the water and the islands, and that gets boring eventually. So I decided to talk to people because that's a little way more interesting. And so I talked to this guy, and I said, hey, how long have you been doing this line of work, right? You're out here on the sailboat, taking tourists out three times a day. You know, what's going on? You've always just wanted to sail a boat, you know, whatever. And he was like, yeah, no, I've only been doing this for 2 years. And he was probably in his, you know, I don't know, mid-30s, probably. I had to go, I didn't ask how old he was. So I asked him, I said, what were you doing? You've only been doing this for 2 years. What were you doing before you were here, right? And he said, I worked in merchandising, which was a joke because he worked in Walmart, right? But the same thing. And so in a roundabout way. And so he was working at Walmart. He was working at Walmart, and he didn't give the full reason or explanation, but I can imagine working stocking shelves in Walmart or even running trucks for him, I don't care what you do, can't be very fulfilling in life. And no offense to people who do that. It's a great living, and I don't want to, you know, say that it's not. But this guy wasn't fulfilled in that. He wasn't. He said that was enough. He said, what I want to do is I want to sell boats. And how do I sell a boat? I got to get on a boat and I got to start working my way up. My passion is boats, right? My passion is sailing, is being out on the water. And so I'm going to sit here, I'm going to run ropes, I'm going to run sail, I'm going to take commands from this captain who's been doing it for a lot longer than I am. I'm going to work my way up and get my captain's license and become a captain one day. That's what I want to do. Now, I don't know how much money he was making in Walmart, but it was probably a decent amount. I don't know quite how much, but he probably was doing okay for himself. He could have carved out a decent living. He could have worked his way up managerial status in Walmart and probably ran the thing. Well, who knows? But instead of that, he said, I'm going to forgo all that. I'm going to focus on my passion. I could tell he loved what he was doing. Now, I'm not saying all of us need to quit and go work on a boat in Maine, all right? That's not what I'm saying. Although, if that's you, go for it. I don't know, that might be fun. But we should, because we should, really, choose our passions carefully. But these aren't things we should just go out on a whim and do. I'm not suggesting you say, oh, yeah, man, I always wanted to go, I don't know, get in a hot air balloon. You just run and find the closest hot air balloon. Think about your passions carefully. Filter them through your spiritual, your emotional, your physical, your relational and financial filters, right? And where you're at in your life. We should choose them carefully, but we should have them. And you should embrace them fully. Maybe it's honoring or treating your spouse, going out on a date once a week with her. Maybe that's your passion. Maybe it's being fully engaged with your kids. Maybe it's serving in the community. Maybe it's worshiping with fellow believers. Whatever the case is, find it, embrace it, and live it. See, Jesus could have just been a normal carpenter, but there was a larger purpose. There was a passion that he couldn't ignore. See, balanced people don't change the world. Passionate people do. And you say, well, I don't want to change the world. I just want to live how I want to live. I just want to live a simple life. And that's fine. You can still have a passion in a simple life. Don't just live it out of convenience, though. You see, the key to reducing stress, to move from surviving to thriving, is to rest, trusting that God's got you, to create that sustainable pace, that healthy rhythm, to discover that passion, that thing that drives you, so you can create a life that you don't want to escape from. That's it. That's our goal. Let your life's music be so appealing that others can't help but want to jump in and dance with you. Now, if you're a seeker this morning, discovering that passion, discovering that rhythm, discovering all these things we talked about to really reduce your stress, not just to say, oh, I'm going to get a good massage, or I'm going to go do all these things, I'm taking a day off, or I'm going to go on vacation for a week and hope that solves it. All those things are not going to fix your problem. What will begin to fix your problem is starting discovering that passion and finding that rhythm in Jesus. And the way you do that is by giving up. What I find interesting about that guy in Maine is that he gave up whatever he was doing at Walmart, again, probably making pretty decent money, and he cashed it in and said, it doesn't matter. What matters is I have this passion, I have this goal, I'm going to change it. I'm going to, no matter what it costs, I'm going to pursue this instead. He was willing to give up what he had to go for something. Everything in your life requires sacrifice, but sacrifice for things that are worth it. And I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is worth more than anything else you can sacrifice your life for. More than your spouse, more than your kids, more than your job, more than your retirement, more than anything else. You have to give up to trust him, find that rhythm, and create that life with him that you don't want to leave, that you want to get into more, that you have to force yourself to take time off from it because you're in it so much that you don't want to leave it. That's attainable. Don't pretend. You might think, that's not me. I can't find that. That is attainable. But you have to give up first. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that in just a minute, to start a whole new way of living. But for believers, I want to end this on this. One, I want to caution you. I want to caution you against all the no's in your mind that's going off. Every time we do things like this, the busyness, the stress, we're going to cover worry and anxiety, all the solutions that the Bible gives us, all the solutions that we're going to unpack during these weeks, you're going to say, no, 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 can't do that. That's not me. That's not my life. I can't quit. I can't go. I can't find a passion. I can't do any of this. That's not me. You're going to have a bazillion no's. And the thing is, whether you say I can't, where I can, you're right. You have to understand that while there are a bazillion no's, that if God is calling you to something, he's going to get you through and over and around all those no's until the yes in your life. It's going to create that life that you don't want to leave. It's possible. It's possible. So all those no's going off in your mind right now, you can shut them off and say, my God's bigger than no's. My God's bigger than what my imagination can even dream up. My God's got me. I also want to encourage you this week to allow yourself the opportunity to dream. And that's something I don't even do enough. I have a lot of time where I can reflect and I don't take it. lot of time where I can dream and I don't take it. So I want to encourage you this week, take some time away, even if it's just for 5 minutes, but it's got to be deeper than that, really. Take 10 minutes to an hour, just sit in a quiet place and think, man, what if I could do one thing in my life? What's that one person? What's that one task that if I had all the time in the world for, I would do it? Dream. Dream. You don't have to be 17 and looking to start a life to dream. You can dream any part of it and obtain it. Don't settle for where you're at because it's convenient. Find that passion, dream, and ask God, man, as if this is it, God, just show me that next step to take. That's where I want to be. Not where I want to be because it's convenient. Where do you want me to be? And watch that stress. God's lighting fires. Will you smother it? Or will you fan it into flame? Let's pray this morning. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, not because I'm trying to tell you what to do, just because I want everybody to be comfortable as we're sitting in this space together, to be able to take time to reflect, to respond. God has placed something in each of you, and God is speaking to each of us today. We read Psalm 130 before we started this morning, way back at 9:30 when we were getting ready to serve together. Psalm 130 says, I will wait for the Lord. There's something there. God's still speaking to you. Will you wait with him to find out what it is? For seekers this morning, as you're listening into him, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've just been listening for a long time but never entered in. Today's a day to start that by giving up, like I mentioned, giving in and giving over everything to him and watch as he takes your life to unimaginable places. If you want to respond to that call, you do it by prayer, by calling out to him, by talking to him, by saying words like these, saying, Dear Jesus, Lord, first, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for trying to control my life, trying to grab hold of it tight to make something out of it that I thought I could. I mean, every day I'm waking up with more stress. God, every day I'm waking up with a full schedule but getting nothing done. Every day I'm striving for something that I don't even know what it is. I can't even put my finger on it. And every day it eludes me. And today, I'm done. Today, I choose you. God, you show me what my next step is. God, if that means quitting my job, if it means doing all these radical things that I can't even possibly comprehend in my life right now, God, if it's what you are calling me to do, God, let me be obedient. Let me trust that you have me to do this with you and not on my own anymore. If that's you this morning and you said yes to him, we encourage you, find me after, find Leo, he's sitting here this morning. If you don't know who he is, he'll find you. Just let us know that you made that commitment. Also online, like or leave a comment. We want to catch up with you as well. Don't think you're going to be missed. We want to connect with you there. For believers and everyone else as we close this morning, let's pray this prayer together though. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray, Lord, that each person here, God, doesn't leave without feeling stirred to find that ember that you've placed in their lives, God. To discover what you have for them that goes beyond the convenience of their lives, God, to find that passion in their lives, and God, for it to drive them so far that their lives, they won't even ever want to leave them, God. But as they're doing that, they learn from you to live in a sustainable rhythm, God, to have rest, to work at just at a productive pace and not just being busy at things. God, to pause and pray and read and meditate on you and your word constantly, God. God, to be able to take a day off and know that you have us, God. All those things, Father, I pray that you plant inside of our spirits this morning. God, that they're nagging, that won't let us go, God. That as we step out the door today and go throughout our work week this week, it keeps coming back. Where's that fire in my life? Where is that fire in my life? God, where are you driving us as your people? not just as individuals, but as your community, as your churches, as this tribe together seeks your face. As we wait on you, God, move us where you want us to be moved. And Lord, let us not be satisfied with anything less than. And God, as we're going this week, as we're discovering that passion that you've placed in us, as we're using our time and our talents and our gifts for you and to see this stirred up around us, God, we pray that we are as Jesus, God, is, as you were, Father. God, as John Wesley said, just on fire so much that people around us come and watch us. God, let that be our testimony this week. Watch as our stress lowers, God, and your spirit fills us and moves us in and through all things as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being online with us today. If you're online, you can't have ice cream, although you could get ice cream yourself, I guess, but you can't get free ice cream here. But we do thank you for being on here with us. Make sure you're with us in the coming weeks as we cover the rest of this series. We're covering worry next week, and then we're covering anxiety as well. So make sure you don't miss those if you deal with those things, which most of us or all of us do at some point. And make sure you check out Prayer Thursdays at 6:30 and then Sunday at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. We can't wait to see you guys on here next time. Thanks for being with us.